awesome, isn't it, Melanie, today? Yes, and all those helping her. Bless you guys as you go. Well, it's lovely to have you. Is it a bit too tall? Yes, let's have something. Let's have something on the sides. Because we want to see your beautiful face. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Yay! Let me pray with you, sweetheart. Let's all just extend our hands of blessing toward Natasha. Lord, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, that we can put our trust in you at all times. And Lord, I thank you that Natasha is a woman that is running hard after you, to see you in the places where it's not always easy to see you, and yet you keep revealing your heart of love to her. And so, Lord, as she comes to share this morning, would you just rest upon her now with your spirit once again. Bless her with peace. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give her a great sense of release and joy as she comes to share who she is. And Lord, may she be truly free to be who she is this morning. May she hold nothing back, because we love Natasha and we love to see what you're doing in her life. So bless her abundantly. And may the ears of our hearts also be open, Lord, to what you're going to speak to us through her today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. I didn't know they were planning on doing that song, It Is Well With My Soul, but that is one of my... It is one of my favorite hymns. I don't like very many hymns, but that is one of my favorite my whole life. And I think it's a little relevant to what I'm going to be talking about, because it's one of those things I feel I constantly have to remind myself, which is kind of what I'm talking about today. So I'm going to start with a couple verses, Romans 5, chapters 1 through 5. So I'm going to read that first, if that's okay. If you want to find it, Romans 5, 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So at Friday's meeting, our prayer meeting, we were talking about attacking arrows, the ones that just come at us and pierce us and they stick in us. And sometimes we're so busy, caught up in the day-to-day, that we just forget to... That wasn't me. Am I too quiet? Okay. The ones that pierce us and stare, and sometimes we just forget to truly let them go. We'll be like, oh, we're done with that situation, it's okay. But the truth is, they're still in us, or they leave scars that can easily be pierced again. What I realized during that prayer is that's something I need to start praying more for over and over, because I still have the leftover scars. I have scar tissue from these pierces, and I still let the same arrows come at me. And it's not ever completely healed, because I don't turn around and let it go and pray to God for it. Lately, I think one of the biggest things for me is the feeling of attacked as a Christian over the past few years. And especially personally with some actual personal people in my life, and a generalization. And I feel that Christianity, I think we all feel that with the advancement of social media, we all feel that intensity of the attack on the Christian faith right now and Christians in a whole. So that's something that's been piercing at me. Someone told me when dealing with it that whatever we do, however we react, we need to look at the character of Christ, and that will show us in turn how we are to be. There's a man, Matthew DiStefano, he makes God's character plain and simple for me to understand in what he basically reworded. So I'm going to read that to you. It says, "If love is patient, then God is patient, for God is love. If love is kind, then God is kind, for God is love. If love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, then God is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, for God is love. If love does not insist on its own way, then God does not insist on God's own way, for God is love. If love is not irritable or resentful and keeps no records of wrongs, then God is not irritable or resentful and keeps no records of wrong, for God is love. If love does not rejoice in wrongdoing but rejoices in the truth, then God does not rejoice in wrongdoing but rejoices in truth, for God is love. If love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, Then God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, for God is love. If love never ends, then God never ends, for God is love. I think these are so basic and they seem so obvious, but I think it's one of those things we just have to aim to reflect and remember the basics of who God is, and that's the character we're going to be. So just one of those hard things for me personally lately, but I think if we stick to remembering who God is, and that's who God is, then the rest will come. When we're talking about those arrows, it's like, we can say that in theory, this is who God is, this is who I should be, but what do we do? How do we put that into practicality? How do we handle it? How do we handle being like God? There's a group, I don't know if any of you heard it, they're Lutheran background, the Evangelical Sisters of Mary. I found something they were saying and how you can deal with attacks from people, attacks on your faith, attacks on the work you do when we go out there and stuff like that. So I'm going to just read a few of them that I liked. One of them was, they say, you can deal with them by humbling myself beneath the powerful hand of God, who has to use my opponents to chasten me because of my sin by saying ever anew, I have deserved this, I need this. For me, this has been a struggle. If I think I'm right and have the proper answer that God has in people's wrongdoing, it's one of those things I sometimes will speak out. You know, people will say something, we're like, well, that's not right, you know, and we speak it out. But I don't think striving to be my best is by acknowledging that. I have to remember that other people look at things a different way. They come at it from a different way. Maybe our approaches are different, even if we are trying to in some way get to the same result. And I think you just have to remember to humble yourself before we start speaking out for others or to others. Another one is by regarding my opponents as God's instruments who will accomplish his work in me, for Jesus, the Lamb of God, wants me to become like him all and reach the glory of God. Sometimes when we're being constantly attacked, it's hard to see any good coming out of it. I think a few of us are struggling right now, and but like they said in the thing, with struggle comes perseverance. It can be what drives us. As long as we stay focused, we can stay that course. Another one was by blessing my opponents again and again, by laying the blood of Jesus upon them and praying for them. I think everybody here is really great at prayer. You guys are serious prayer warriors. I myself, prayer is not my thing. I'm a doer. I'm a hands-on. Give me something to do before I pray because I get uncomfortable. But I do like in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. Jesus spent so much of his time in prayer, and I think we just have to keep striving for the same. Sometimes even when we think we've prayed enough, just pray a little more. That's something I know I have to work on. And the last one was by believing firmly that ultimately they cannot harm us in our ministry. Rather, they are useful to us because through the seeds of tears, every ministry will flourish and bring forth much fruit. When we're anxious and attacked and scared and all these things, I think we have to remember the words of John 16:33. I've said these things to you that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The truth is God's already won. I know we all say this, and I think we all know this in theory. But when these attacks keep coming at us, or you know these things wound us, I think we just so easy to get lost and remember that something good will come out of all of this. Justice has already prevailed, so we'll continue to do so. I think what I've been struggling with is negative thoughts. Attacks have felt made me feel kind of justified in my feeling of resentment or the anger that I've hung on to, which you know, just eats away at me sometimes. We may feel justified in thinking that the wrong has been done. We can think, you know, these things are negative. That has happened to us in our lives is a bad thing, but as Christians, we cannot let the pain and the anger and all of this overrule us. We can't keep these on. We have to let them go. We have to constantly pray that we just truly ask to let go of these individual things and look at them individually, not just say, hey, God, I need healing today. I'm not feeling well. You know, if you really think about it, we know what's piercing at us. We know what's coming at us, and we need to pray specifically to each one. I think we also have to constantly reflect on who God is, and therefore who we should be, and this will in turn help us do all these and follow the next steps of what he is calling us to do, and give us guidance on how to move from there. You pray for him, and then you have to take an action, because God does call us into action. He says in James 2:26, for the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from the works is dead. And in James 14:17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. for me, it's just one of those things. I have to really, and I'm maybe true for some of you guys, we have to let these things go so that we can do what we're called to do and take these actions. We're not meant to just pray and love. Yes, we do need to do that, but there is an action behind it. We have to do something. We have to go forward, but it all starts with us. We need to remember to live our lives through the lens of the gospel and approach all challenges with a heart and grace and not our own interpretation of justice. And that's something I struggle with. I'm telling you I'm struggling with that. what I'm hoping that you're getting out of this is we're being attacked every day in our lives. We are attacked personally. We're attacked as a Christian people. We will always be attacked. This is the way of it. You know, God doesn't tell us we won't be. He tells us, in fact, this is our life. Our response will be the difference the world sees in how we have hope and the way we go through life, even through persecution. Whether we keep letting these arrows come at us and pierce us and stay with us and suffering, or if we choose to go God's way and allow him to lead his people to the truth and to the kingdom through our witness. So we must constantly aim to be more like Christ, pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance, and listen to Christ and be ready for whatever action he commands. So that's just what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Natasha. Thank you for being vulnerable too, to actually, you know, allow us to see into your heart and the things that you grapple with, because we don't always tend to do that, you know, to really open ourselves up to say, I really struggle with this. But if you're struggling with it, you can bet that you're not the only one. You know, we all struggle with the difficulties that life brings. And as you're right, you know, we are called, when we say yes to Jesus, we're called into warfare. And interesting, you know, last week Natasha was out with the kids, so she didn't hear what was going on in here. But Margie was talking about our need to battle for the truth. And very much so that we need to realise we are in a battle, and that there is, you know, we need to battle for truth and how we're going to do that. And you've really, it's interesting, I thought, the way that you really addressed the inner workings of that, that unless we're really secure in who we are in Christ, we know, and we know that the battle's already won and that we're secure in him, that we've got to get that right first. You know, otherwise we're going to get hit by those arrows, and those arrows are going to start to take us out, and we're going to be ineffective. So, you know, what we need to really realise as a fellowship is, as we gather and as we're all listening to the Spirit, God is actually speaking his word through us collectively. And so again, he's talking about battle. You know, this is our reality, but also the call to say, here I am, come and get yourself right with me. Get to that point where you can say, it is well with my soul, to release all that, despite all the difficulties that he brings our way. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Natasha. Bless you. Thank you so much. Awesome. The next person we have speaking to us is Angus. There he is. I was trying to find you. Bless you, Angus. Come on up. You've already got your hand now. Do we want to raise that up, or what would you like to do there? Oh, they want to see your beautiful face. Oh, there you go. You're a good man. All right, we're going to pray for you too, Angus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, look at that. We thank you for your presence. We love you, Lord. We love the way that you come as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, that you come into us and you reveal yourself to us and you release your word to us. And so we thank you for Angus and his heart of surrender to you, Lord. Would you come and fill him fully right now in the name of Jesus? Release your power, your word, Lord, your confidence, your authority. Thank you that he has your authority, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would just have permission now to flow fully and freely through Angus. Lord, he's prepared things. Lord, maybe you may say something even different again this morning through him. Lord, may he just release all of his control to you. And Lord, that he would just enjoy being who he fully is in you, Lord God, as he brings your word this morning. Again, Lord, may our hearts be open. We love you, Jesus. We love how you move in and through all of us, Lord, to grow us as your family. We rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I'll just get this up. All right. So, a couple of weeks ago, Eddie and I shared about what we did at the conference in Melbourne for the leadership conference, and I spoke a bit about God saying to me that you don't need to be a man that the world has, like, the common sort of, what's it called? Stereotype. That's the one. Thank you. Yes. So I got a strong sense of God saying to me, you don't need to fit into a stereotype. You can be who I've made you to be, because stereotypes are of the world, not of me. So to start off with, what is a typical man? So it's, you know, a provider of, you know, a house that looks over the family, is the big tough person that's, you know, when trouble comes, you know, they're the one out there, you know, straight up in the face of that trouble, protecting their family. It's the you know, hardcore, you know, I don't like hugs and kisses, you know, like, just that, don't give me a bunny rabbit because I want a wolf for my pet, you know, sort of thing. It's that, you know, I drink full strength beer, you know, like, that's what a typical man is. And that links into identity, obviously, and we can either identify with that or create our own mold. And so for me, I struggled with for a long time projecting myself and trying to be that man, because that's who I thought I needed to be, not just to be a leader, but to be a big person that can help lots of people. And now I've realized I don't need to be that, because that's actually when we do that, it's actually taking away from what God wants us to be. It's not taking away God's power, but it's not letting God use what he has in store for us. And so that's why it doesn't matter to be a man. You don't need to be a man, because God has made you. I know it's kind of weird, because I'm saying about being a man, and obviously we have lots of lovely women in here. So and I didn't really think about that when I prepared this, so I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. But then I was thinking before, to try and, I don't know, get it to go the same way at the same time, it's that you don't need to, you know, you don't have to have the nails, you don't have to do the makeup, you don't have to wear the high heels, you don't have to have that nice tan. You know? It's just, that was my sort of thinking of the same thing. So think along those lines for all you lovely ladies out there. I'm sorry I didn't prepare a little bit better. And then I found a passage on that which sort of touches on the same thing. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. A black man cannot change the colour of his skin, and a leopard cannot change its spots. In the same way, Jerusalem, you cannot change and do good, you always do bad things. So it's, for me, when I read that, it's, you can't change who you are. You can try and pretend to be something you're not, but I've given you an identity, and you can't take that away. So, and to me, that's extremely powerful, because that is God showing his love. When I read that passage, I go, that's not God saying, I don't want you to do all these other things. It's God saying, I love you, and I've given you this identity and pathway. I have all of this in store for you. So when you realize that, you can step into it, and all these doors will open, and all these really awesome things can come about. But if I try and be a man, if guys try and be men, and women try to be women, you know, try and be that stereotypical type, then we can't step into what God has, because we're putting up a barrier, we're putting up a wall of the world. We're trying to step into worldly things and not what God has for us. And so I found two other passages too that sort of go along with that. And this is what, if you just, I'll read it twice and just listen to the words. This is 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. And God says, but my answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weakness in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So just read that once more and just sort of try and really think about what it's saying here is, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weakness in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, for me, that is extremely powerful. It's that saying exactly, tear down the walls of trying to be the big, strong person. Tear those walls down, because when you're at your most vulnerable, your most weakest point, that's when God can truly, his power can just truly flow, because you don't have the wall stopping it. You don't have those strongholds around you that are trying to build you up to a place that we shouldn't be, because that's not where God's calling us to be. So, yeah. And then the next passage I found was, the Lord will help you defeat these nations, but you must do to them everything I told you to do. Be strong and brave. Don't be afraid of those people, because the Lord is your God, is with you. He will not fail or leave you. So I thought that really backed that up. It's basically God's saying, be vulnerable so I can come in, and then I will give you my strength, and you will become the man I want you to be, or the woman, or the person I want you to be, because now you have my strength and you're not doing it on your own. And I will never leave you, and you'll be able to tear down nations through my power where before you could not do that. And so that's basically just what I wanted to share, was that this is actively what God's trying to get through to me. And I've been going through a fair bit of hard stuff the past couple of weeks, and it's been even harder because I'm trying to make myself vulnerable so I can let God move through that. And it's a massive, massive challenge, and it's coming close to breaking point, but I know that God's there with me and God's journeying with me. And so I'm becoming less of a man and more of a man of God, and I think that's just awesome. So yeah.
Thanks, Angus. As you were talking about stereotypical men and women, I was thinking, well, the word came to me about stereotypical Christians. What does it mean to be a stereotype of a Christian? And I was thinking, oh, well, they're quiet, conservative, very measured in the way they, you know, might respond. That would be a stereotypical, you know, go to church, do the right thing. You know, but maybe a bit devoid of passion and freedom, and that's who God's calling us to be, like totally, fully who we are. Otherwise, we're denying what God has really deposited into us, fullness of life. And so sometimes there's that, you know, you have that kind of picture of what, you know, the worldly man is meant to be, and maybe there's a picture of what a Christian should be like. Sometimes I'm in a situation that, well, how should I really respond now? And really, gosh, you know, I need to say, well, God, what do you really, who am I in this place for you right now, and how should I be? Because he wants me to be fully who I am, rather than being a measured version of maybe who I am. Does that make sense? I was just wondering, Angus, since you're going through it and you're having some success, and we're in a battle, not just with the world, but, you know, there's this battle within us out of our own nature and flesh that we need to work out as well. Would you pray over us and release that fullness? I think that would be great, since God's doing that in you. Beautiful. And we'll all be in that prayer position of receiving as you do so.
In your prayer position. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan, and you've had that plan for every single one of us, an individual plan, before we were conceived, Lord, that you know everything about us, everything we do, and every single thought, Lord. Right now, I just ask that you release that over us, Lord, that you would release your plan, Lord, that we can see you clearly and go, I've been trying to project myself like this, Lord, but right now I'm coming back to you. Who do you want me to be, Lord? Right now, I just ask that you just reveal that to all of us here, Lord, that you reveal who do you want us to be, so we can be the best for you, Lord, so that we can spread your word, Lord, in the best way possible. It doesn't mean we need to change who we are, because it is who we are, Lord. It's who you've made us to be. We're just stepping into a better selves, Lord. And right now, I just ask that you release that right now, Lord, over the congregation, that they can know you, Lord, and step in closer to you to know who you are, so we can know who we are, because alone we can't make it, Lord. So right now we just pass ourselves over to you, Lord, and just go, thank you, Jesus. I pass on what the world sees of me, Lord. I don't care what the world sees of me, because only your eyes matter, Lord. So thank you, Jesus, that you love us so dearly, that you want to bring us into the place, Lord, that you have prepared for us, and that we don't need to worry about where we're going because you have it in your hand and you're ready just to open doors for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Amen.
I just got to pray too as Angus was praying, the word freedom. And so I just want to speak that over all of us this morning. Lord, I just thank you for your freedom that we had, that we've already stepped into because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us and the new life he has risen into that we ourselves are in right now. And Lord, I saw chains. So Lord, would you just break the chains that are around us, our minds, our mindsets of who we expect ourselves to be, or the little thoughts that come of what the world might think we should be like. Would you break those now in the name of Jesus? Would they snap and fall away now, Lord? And would you give each one of us now, Lord, a bigger picture of who we are in you? Would you give us a picture of who we look like to you, Lord? Because you've placed a crown on each of our heads, and we are glorious in your sight. So, Lord, would you give us a bigger, a fuller picture of who each of us are now in the name of Jesus, Lord, full of your life, full of your glory. That's what we've been saved for your glory to be shining in us and out within us. So, Lord, I pray release, Lord, in the area of our emotions, in the area of how we think, our thought life, that we would run harder after you, Lord, and allow your spirit to really manifest through who we are in all shapes, all places, Lord, of how we are in you, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord. Would you just come and just bring that to fruition in your life? Would you manifest that, Lord? And Lord, may today be the beginning of a new us, Lord, because that's how we bring great glory to you, is being fully who we are, with not being held back at all, Lord God. Give us your wisdom, Lord God, and may we be grounded in you, Lord God, knowing that we are fully your children and dearly loved. And we give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Awesome. Thanks, Angus. All right. Can we have the worship team back up? We might have a song. And then we might just wait on the Lord and see what he wants to do. Yes, you might need that back.